divided kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly.
We're coming to you live on the Global Star Radio Network, Wednesday, May 22nd. We're thrilled to be hosting this program for you as we get ready to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary on May 26th. It's always been interesting to both of us that we married in Orwell's 1984.
That's for sure, Lou.
Yeah, without further ado, we jumped right in to Bombshell, Moral Depravity Shocks, and Secrets.
And we have, first of all, The People's Voice, May 18th, Baxter Dimitri, busted. Secret Hollywood pharmacy caught selling adrenochrome pills to elite celebrities. An elite pharmacy in Los Angeles has been busted selling adrenochrome pills to Hollywood executives and celebrities, according to an LAPD source who reveals the ancient drug sourced from tortured and murdered children is becoming booming in popularity in Tinseltown. According to law enforcement, Hollywood elites believe the more the child has suffered, the better the high. They believe the negative emotions that were coursing through the kid's body, the adrenaline and terror, will give them health benefits and special powers. It's a Hollywood thing influenced by old-school Satanism. And they believe they are untouchable because they own everything, including the media. Unfortunately for the elite, they can't pay for our silence, and we are determined to expose their crimes against children to the masses. Buckle up, this one is going to get wild. It's not just Hollywood. Wherever the global elite gather, adrenochrome dealers can be found cashing in on the elite's need for children's blood. It didn't take long for TPV researchers to find adrenochrome available for sale in Davos, the home of the World Economic Forum. Meanwhile, in South Korea, officials have captured smuggled drug capsules containing the powdered flesh of dead babies. According to customs officials, the capsules were made from babies who were chopped into pieces and dried on stoves before being dried into powder form for the depraved pleasure of the satanic elite. Make no mistake, adrenochrome is a big business, growing annually, with customers around the world. Why are the mainstream media keeping it under wraps? Because the addicts are those who have sold their souls to the darkest forces in the universe to gain money, power, and achieve their ruthless ambition.
Take Barack Obama, for example. His older brother, Malik, went on record this week accusing the former president of being addicted to adrenochrome, the elite's drug of choice. But it's not just a problem that exists in global elite headquarters like Hollywood, Davos, and Martha's Vineyard. Adrenochrome is a problem that has existed for centuries, and it has users worldwide. Planned Parenthood executives have been caught harvesting the organs and body parts of children for the VIP elite, and boasting about the luxury items and lavish lifestyles that the trade in dead children affords them. Dr. Mary Gatter, the director of the Los Angeles branch of Planned Parenthood, was caught on video negotiating the price of very specific body parts favored by the elites, who use the body parts in the consumption of adrenochrome. This video is particularly revealing because Dr. Gatter specifically confirms she is willing to provide thymus, liver, pears to the prospective buyer. She also confirms that she has colleagues in other parts of California selling the same body parts to elite buyers. It's no surprise Dr. Gatter discusses the thymus gland and liver. According to peer-reviewed medical literature, the thymus gland and the liver are the two main organs used in the production of adrenochrome. This is damning stuff, caught on film. And yet mainstream media is attempting to run cover for Planned Parenthood and the Hollywood elite they service. Unfortunately for the mainstream media, we have the receipts coming up that prove the global elite are blood-sucking vampires. Mainstream media are flying in the face of long-accepted science and knowledge when they try and protect the global elite by claiming adrenochrome is nothing more than a wild conspiracy theory. It's no surprise that Hollywood pharmacies are dealing in baby blood and Planned Parenthood's Dr. Gatter happened to be in Los Angeles when she was caught negotiating the price of body parts. Actor Jim Caviezel, who played the role of Jesus in Mel Gibson's epic Passion of the Christ, has gone on record admitting that children are being kidnapped and trafficked by Hollywood elites.
Caviezel addressed the issue of child trafficking in Hollywood, revealing that entertainment industry elite are, quote, raping and murdering, end of quote, children for adrenochrome. Caviezel is not the only celebrity blowing the whistle on the gruesome vice of the elite. In 2016, WikiLeaks emails confirmed what many people had long suspected. Hillary Clinton worships Moloch, the pagan god of child sacrifice. And Mel Gibson, who directed Caviezel in The Passion of the Christ and is now working on The Sound of Freedom, also went on record denouncing Hollywood as, quote, a den of parasites who, quote, feast on the blood of kids, end of quote. Hollywood studios are, quote, drenched in the blood of innocent children, end of quote, according to Gibson, who claimed the consumption of, quote, baby blood is so popular in Hollywood that it basically operates as a currency of its own, end of quote. The mainstream media quickly pounced on Gibson's revelations, deployed fact-checkers, including Snopes, to declare the comments fake news, and proceeded to delete every video and article from the Internet. In short, the mainstream media memory-holed them. Mel Gibson's voice was silenced. A celebrity cannot speak out against the system without being silenced and punished. Gibson's career has not been the same since. That's why it's so important as many people as possible get to hear Jim Caviezel's words before the mainstream media cancels him and destroys the evidence. We have seen it happen so many times before. In recent times, Nicole Kidman and Lindsay Lohan also spoke out about pedophilia in Hollywood before backtracking, attempting to cover their tracks, and pretending they never said what they did. Close friends of Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, Coolia, and Anne Heche have come forward with remarkably similar stories, revealing the stars were working on exposing the pedophile ring at the heart of the music industry, and it cost them their lives. These are dark times, and bravery is required to live with eyes wide open. But it's not all doom and gloom. Thanks to the bravery of people like yourself, the masses are beginning to wake up, and the evildoers are not having everything their own way.
Take Planned Parenthood, for example. The laws are closing in on the perverts and depopulationists. Their director of strategic communications was found dead in April, after police uncovered evidence of a pedophile network at his home. Tim Yergo, 36, was found dead in his Connecticut apartment from apparent suicide shortly after he was implicated by police in a child sex investigation. In December last year, Bill Taverner, a director for Planned Parenthood, claimed that in his opinion, children should be treated as, quote, sexual beings, unquote, from the moment they exit the womb. Speaking to an interviewer in 2012, Taverner argued online pornography could be, quote, useful, unquote, to youngsters. After the People's Voice exposed Taverner's satanic beliefs, Fox News Digital dug up similar appalling statements from Taverner's Center for Sex Ed, with one document titled Fundamentals of Teaching Sexuality, claiming, quote, sexuality is a part of life through all the ages and stages. Babies, elders, and everyone in between can experience sexuality, unquote. The world is run by psychopathic pedophiles and perverts, and it is our duty to expose them one by one, tear down the walls that have been erected to protect them, and hold them all to account for their crimes.
May 10th, 2024, The People's Voice, Baxter Dimitri. Trudeau orders military to round up, quote, conspiracy theorists in re-education camps. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has ordered the Canadian military to track and trace so-called, quote, conspiracy theorists who disapprove of his WEF, and of course that's the World Economic Forum, inspired agenda as the global elite's war against dissenters goes into overdrive. According to Canadian sources, military personnel and police officers are going door to door in select provinces, performing so-called, quote, wellness checks, end of quote, on behalf of the Trudeau regime. However, in reality, these wellness checks are nothing more than the Trudeau regime's latest ruse to punish those who oppose the globalist agenda and exclude them from society. Trudeau has already exposed his authoritarian nature, issuing gun confiscation orders, freezing protesters' bank accounts, and issuing threats about, quote, crushing the freedom convoy with tanks, end of quote. But if you think the panicked Trudeau government let the authoritarian WEF agenda influence government policy, you ain't seen nothing yet. Like a hammy drama teacher over-enthusiastically throwing himself into a school production role, WEF young global leader Justin Trudeau has embraced Klaus Schwab's dystopian agenda more fully than any other world leader. Schwab declared war on the so-called conspiracy theorists during the so-called COVID pandemic, and Justin Trudeau was quick to follow suit, clumsily railing against critical thinkers in Canadian society who could see through his lies. According to Trudeau, conspiracy theorists are to blame for all the ills of modern society, including the fact that nobody trusts the mainstream media anymore. And we're going to interject here. This is Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly. My colleague Lou Caverly and I are presenting a program to you that is your program. You are helping us stay on the air, and we are telling the truth without compromise. We don't have 400 radio stations worldwide like Alex Jones. We don't have what Rush Limbaugh once had. How did these people get installed? My goodness, I guess it was just contributions from people like you that paid for these multi-million dollar empires of radio. So we just ask you to be critical thinkers, and if you value this program, because we are called, we believe, from Almighty God, despite our own flaws, weaknesses, and anything else that is there, our own sins. We repent. We are repenting daily because we think a time like no other time is almost upon us. Yes, yes, Lou has reported to me that Congress now, Rand Paul, there's some action looking at the gain of function. Well, at last, hoop, hoop, hooray. Will it be real? Maybe Peter Daszak has been defunded. What about that group we reported to you with a little news blurb about a week ago? There was a group of 17 congressional members who wanted answers why our U.S. Department of Agriculture head, Tom Vilsack, and his group were working with a bioweapons lab in China that was connected to Wuhan, and it was to possibly make the bird flu more virulent. That's gain of function, too. So we have to keep our eyes open. And when we hear more about the WHO Global Pandemic Treaty status, we will report it. If you value this program, we do need your help. And anything that you can send to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, we will be grateful to receive it. Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Getting back to this article about Trudeau and what's north of us, and we value our Canadian listeners very, very highly because we really are very close geographically to them. And sad to say, with Biden economics or Bidenomics, whatever you want to call it, and Trudeau's terror, they pretty well link up into one continental heap, don't they, Lou?
They do. They are both on the decline badly. Trudeau is, as you said, more of a dictator, and Biden is just out of it.
Yes, and so the Trudeau regime, back to Baxter Dimitri's article at the People's Voice May 10th, the Trudeau regime has now introduced an Orwellian law called the Online Harms Bill, C-63, which will give police the power to retroactively search the Internet for, quote, hate speech violations and arrest offenders, even if the alleged offense occurred before the law existed. The real shocker in this bill is the alarming retroactive aspect.
Essentially, under this law, whatever you have said in the past can now be weaponized against you by today's extreme woke standards. Historian Dr. Muriel Blave has weighed in on this draconian law, labeling it outright, quote, mad, unquote, and pointing out that even Orwell's thought police didn't go as far as Trudeau. One has to wonder, with this new bill on the table, shouldn't Justin Trudeau be facing fines or perhaps even jail time for his numerous historical blackface performances? But in all seriousness, this is bone-chilling, dystopian stuff coming out of Canada. And don't think it couldn't happen in the U.S. and the rest of the Western world, because that is exactly what the globalists are planning. When Klaus says jump, the mainstream media says, how high? And they are already making the case for total government surveillance as we speak. Trudeau is attempting to suppress dissent against the establishment by introducing fines up to $70,000 per offense and life in prison for what his government deems online, quote, hate speech, unquote. Fact checkers and liberals south of the border have dismissed claims that the Trudeau regime is moving into full-scale dictatorial mode, and the freedom of Canadians is now on a knife edge. According to the left-wing media, the Trudeau regime would have to mobilize the military and law enforcement to monitor every Canadian household for hate speech, which is a step they would never take, right? Oh. What do Klaus Schwab's young global leaders all have in common? They are all the enemies of their people. And make no mistake, the people are rising up against them.
Ed Lou, the title of tonight's program, Bombshell, Moral Depravity, Shocks and Secrets, has to include the terrible thing that's bringing us closer to judgment here in America, and that is the militant LGBTQ agenda, which at its very most vicious is robbing prepubescent children of their sexual organs, mutilating them, surgically removing breasts and penises. And we have a few people. We might not always agree with someone like J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books. We had lots of exposés on them from the late Carol Matriciano on our program, who talked about very subtly, I think one of the main characters is Dumbledore and Harry. They represented supposedly the polarity of good and evil, but there was a mixture, just the way Satan does. Right now in our culture, the good was partly evil. The evil was partly good. So in those two characters of Harry and Dumbledore, there was this kind of a mishmash. There wasn't a figure that was completely good or one that was completely evil. So that's what we see. We see everything being contaminated. And last night we gave you a Media Watch report. And, of course, you can go to DividedKingdomRadio.com to hear that program. In our listening archives, we talked about how the AARP, which is supposed to be helping retired persons in America, they are going to be giving tours there in New York to the Inn, the Stonewall Inn, that first started all of the gay upheavals, the LGBTQ agenda. They're going to be financing the summer tour of the Rolling Stones. Then we talked about the increased featuring of lesbian couples in magazines that once were very conservative, like Southern Living. We see this all around us. Everything is being altered, and all the biblical values are under assault. All of the words of God, there's no reverence or fear of God, his power. So here we do have J.K. Rowling. At least she has some sanity left. She's not completely in a reprobate mind. She thinks that there is a man and there is a woman. So this was LifeSite News. This was March 8th, Jonathan Van Maren. J.K. Rowling refuses to bow to transgender activist who reported her to police for, quote, misgendering. Rowling defended her position that gender-confused TV personality India Willoughby did not become a woman, adding, India is cosplaying a misogynistic male fantasy of what a woman is. J.K. Rowling has been on fire lately. India Scarlet, no, that's a nickname for Willoughby, a trans-identified man who changed his name from Jonathan and, quote, transitioned, in 2015, is one of the UK's most prominent transgenderism activists. Fated as Britain's first transgender television newsreader and, quote, the first transgender co-host of the previously all-women ITV talk show Loose Women, he was nominated for a British LGBT award in 2017. Post, quote, transition, Willoughby's heartbroken son refused to speak to him for years. Willoughby is now perhaps more famous for tangling with Rowling. Speaking to Byline TV, Willoughby announced that he has reported Rowling to the police for, quote, misgendering him by referring to him as a man rather than a woman. Quote, J.K. Rowling's definitely committed a crime, he said. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman, and she calls me a man. It's a protected characteristic, and that is a breach of both the Equalities Act and the Gender Recognition Act. He went on to complain about her tweets and said that the responses had been, quote, putrid and, quote, disgusting and constituted abuse. Quote, it's a cut and dried offense.
Like nearly everything Willoughby says, this is not the case. Rowling referred to him as a man, or referring to him as a man, is not a hate crime and will not, under the current legal regime, lead to her arrest. Rowling, for her part, promptly fired back, quote, some time ago, lawyers advised me that not only did I have a clearly winnable case against India Willoughby for defamation, but that India's obsessive targeting of me over the past few years may meet the legal threshold for harassment, unquote. She posted that on X. She then followed up with a list of Willoughby's own controversial tweets. I ignored this advice because I couldn't be bothered giving India the publicity he so clearly craves. Nevertheless, we must all do our bit to combat hate. So India will be glad to know I've taken note of his homophobia, racism, and humane stance on immigration. That was J.K. Rowling on March 6, 2024. She concluded by reiterating the fact that Willoughby is a male. Rowling also posted a previous tweet from Willoughby in which he asked, quote, how big a van would I need to kidnap Joanna Cherry, Mayo Potato, and the Witchfinder Woman, unquote. As Rowling observed, quote, for reference, this is the individual whose precious feelings are more important than truth, according to some of his fellow men. If you think women calling this person a man is more offensive than him publicizing or publicly fantasizing about kidnapping women, I can't help you, unquote. She's right. Rowling noted that even the interviewer referred to Willoughby several times as he. As I've noted in this space before, Rowling is going all in on the transgender culture war. And because she's one of the UK's wealthiest people, she can do so without fear of being canceled or fired. Her advocacy, it must be stated, has been enabled by the world's second richest man. If Elon Musk had not purchased X, it would still be a bannable offense to, quote, misgender, unquote, trans-identified people. Rowling has the courage. Musk has given her the platform. Millions of people are now exposed to a fierce woman angrily denouncing men displaying as women and stating in clear English what most of us know, that the emperor has no clothes.
The People's Voice, December 24th, 2023. President Putin, I will never allow the New World Order to pervert nature. There are only two genders. Russian President Vladimir Putin has vowed to never cave in to the New World Order elites who want to destroy the concepts of male and female. Speaking to journalists at an end-of-year press conference, Putin warned that the elites in the West are deliberately trying to pervert nature by claiming that men can be women and women can be men. Quote, it's inevitable that these concepts will arrive in Russia, and that's in brackets. Putin warned, if someone thinks men and women are the same thing, let them think that, but let us think about common sense. I believe that the traditional approach is correct. Male is male, female is female, mother is mother, and father is father. I sincerely hope that our society has the moral armor to protect us against this, Putin added. He also spoke about the far-left movement in the U.S. to allow inmates to legally change their gender to female in order to enter women's prisons. Quote, to fight against that, we should not just shout and point fingers, but we should support our own traditional values, he declared. Then we move right on to LifeSite News, and this was Monday, April 22nd, 2024, by Emily Mangia-Racina. Dylan Mulvaney to speak at Jesuit St. Louis University about his transgender activism. We have to interject there that we just gave a quick overview of an Alex Jones book about the Great Reset that he wrote in 2022, and he lists a ghostwriter, I believe, named Kent. I'm not sure of the last name, something like Steppen Lively. That's not quite it. But at any rate, we quickly perused through it, and the chapter on COVID. Now, this was written in 2022 when Operation Warp Speed had been underway about a year. There was really no mention of the bioweapon status of the COVID vaccine and all of the sudden deaths, all of this. We were very shocked not to see any of that as part of it. But the book talked a lot about the WEF and possibly the coming digital money and all of those things that will be tyranny. But there was no nothing in the index about the Jesuits, not one thing. We only saw the old rehash of things like the Trilateral Commission, and we saw that there were things like that, Brzezinski. And the one picture in Alex's book was of Trump sitting down with the late Henry Kissinger. So we think that perhaps there are some missing pieces, according to Captain Daryl Eberhardt and some others, like Chris Pinto, who is finishing valiantly his new docudrama about the Jesuits in America. So he needs a lot of prayer, because the Jesuits are definitely indicted in their aspects that appear certainly to be facilitating things like the open borders, that Jesuit church in El Paso, and other aspects that seem as though we are moving the country toward a complete takedown and takeover. We reported last night that we have learned that Governor of Massachusetts, Mara Healey, and the Boston mayor visited the Pope, and we wondered whether they were getting their marching orders. We're not saying that the Jesuits are the top of the all-seeing eye pyramid. Lucifer is at the top. And there are others. There are Rothschilds. There are others. There are big tycoons. There is Bill Gates buying up all the farmland. But we must bring out the whole truth, or we are the kind of salt that has lost its savor, and God will spit the lukewarm out of his mouth. So Lou and I care more about what we're going to have to say when we reach the Lord at the end of our lives, when he says, have you done what I asked? Isn't that right, Lou Caverly?
Well, that's right. We want to be able to stand up and say, yes, we've done everything we knew of that you wanted us to do.
And we've tried to quell things that are of Satan, such as true hatred of a people, any people, Muslims, Jews, but at the same time, we have tried to be very truthful about the subtleties of the New World Order government in Israel, as well as the extreme murderous precepts that are in the Quran that radical Islam has been operating on. So, to the best of our knowledge, under God's guidance. We will continue to bring you the truth. So here we have it now, Dylan Mulvaney to speak at Jesuit St. Louis University about his transgender activism. This is LifeSite News, and it is a conservative Roman Catholic news site. And we find a lot about it that we do admire, even though we have to, as Protestants, Lou and I, avoid and reject any of the Marian worship. We cannot accept that as Protestants. But we do admire this website's desire to honor life and to oppose abortion and to oppose this terrible LGBTQ mutilation. So nominally Catholic, they say. That's interesting that they say that. Nominally Catholic. Lou, we have to interrupt it. We're not experts like Captain Daryl Everhard on the Jesuits, but we do know they were run out of various countries, weren't they? And they were run out of the Roman Catholic Church at one point.
Yes, they were banned for some time. And even a noted historian like Francis Parkman condemns them in several places. Now, he does admire some of the low-level Jesuits who were missionaries in the early part of Canadian history, but he says in no uncertain terms they were behind the scenes trying to overthrow governments, and that's part of the reason that the Catholic Church banned them for quite some time.
And a lot of people do not know that Samuel F.B. Morse, the inventor of the telegraph, had some important essays warning that the most important enemy America would ever have was the Jesuits. And Abraham Lincoln, before he became president, he helped Father Charles Chiniquy in a courtroom proceeding against the Jesuits, and Chiniquy said they will never forget this. And perhaps they didn't, because after Lincoln's assassination, one of the bodyguards, I think, of the, is it the Surratt family that was involved?
They were involved, I'm not sure.
And one of these bodyguards ended up with the Pope, I think, as his bodyguard. So there are a lot of questioning things that we must look at. We cannot ignore them. We cannot gloss over them. Lou and I are not paid, controlled opposition. We don't have three homes like one of the key radio personalities who's under so much legal duress now has three homes. No, we have two mortgages on one home. Back to the article now about Dylan Mulvaney, this speech being hosted by, as LifeSite News says, the nominally Catholic St. Louis University. Dylan, is a transgender TikTok activist known for his infamous partnership with Bud Light in contradiction to church teaching. Jesuit St. Louis University, SLU, in Missouri, is hosting a speech on Monday evening by the gender-confused influencer Dylan Mulvaney, best known for his disastrous ad partnership with Bud Light. And this, again, appeared on Monday, April 22nd, my birthday, 2024, by Emily Mangia-Racina. According to an SLU group's event page, Mulvaney, a man who identifies as a, quote, woman, plans to, quote, talk about his experiences as a trans actress, activist, and content creator. Mulvaney first gained a following as a homosexual TikTok user, and his fame exploded when he began to present himself as a, quote, woman. In October 2022, he went viral for an interview with Joe Biden, in which he asked the president if he thought states have a right to ban gender-affirming health care, transgender mutilation. Biden replied, "I don't think any state or anybody should have the right to do that. As a moral question and as a legal question, were you listening, listeners? Did you understand that Biden did not think any state should have the right to ban transgender mutilation?" And Biden furthermore said, "As a moral question and as a legal question, we're talking to you here about moral depravity and impending judgment by Almighty God that may be hovering very near to our beloved America, that is no longer our beloved America. The article says last year, Anheuser-Busch partnered with Mulvaney, who featured in a marketing campaign for its popular beer, Bud Light. The campaign included a video ad in which Mulvaney, dressed like Audrey Hepburn's Breakfast at Tiffany's character, shared that he had celebrated his, quote, 365th day of womanhood that month, and was delighted to receive Bud Light beers emblazoned with photos of his face.
Days after the company released its ad featuring Mulvaney, Anheuser-Busch lost $4 billion in market value amid widespread boycotts of the brand and was slammed for catering to woke ideology while entirely ignoring the beliefs and values of its customer base. Alexander Loon, president of SLU's College Republicans, told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that Mulvaney's message contradicts SLU's Catholic teachings, but added that her student organization does not plan to protest the event. She said in a statement, "Mulvaney's comments have been deemed disrespectful and derogatory towards women and to SLU's central mission," unquote. Loon told the Post-Dispatch that the College Republicans attempted to have women's sports advocate Paula Scanlon speak at the university the day after Mulvaney's visit to, quote, balance viewpoints, unquote, but was told by the school that security could not accommodate the request. St. Louis University states that its mission is, quote, the pursuit of truth for the greater glory of God and for the service of humanity, unquote. SLU, quote, is dedicated to leadership in the continuing quest for understanding of God's creation and for the discovery, dissemination, and integration of the values, knowledge, and skills required to transform society in the spirit of the Gospels, unquote, according to its mission statement page. A local transgender activist with St. Louis Metro Trans Umbrella Group described the event as, quote, a big deal, due to the fact that it will be hosted by a formerly Catholic Jesuit institution. That word sounds confusing, formally, F-O-R-M-E-L-L-Y, not in the past, but in formal terms. Despite SLU's claim that its mission is the pursuit of truth for the greater glory of God, the university makes no mention of a faith-based mission on its website homepage. It also boasts that its graduates are employed at corporations like Anheuser-Busch Companies, which is based in St. Louis, Missouri, Boeing, which has been ripped for valuing woke policies over safety, resulting in a slew of recent accidents, including two fatal crashes, and Bayer Corporation, which produces dangerous pharmaceuticals and has misleadingly marketed gene therapy as vaccines.
The Gateway Pundit, Ben Q, May 20th, 2024. Commie Pope Francis claims stopping America's illegal border invasion would be sheer madness. Pope Francis has come out against efforts to control America's borders, arguing that attempting to stop the invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border would be, quote, sheer madness, end of quote. In a 60 Minutes interview with Nora O'Donnell, Francis denounced efforts by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to shut down a Catholic charity that is enabling the passage of thousands of illegal aliens across the southern border. Quote, migration is something that makes a country grow, end of quote, he said. Quote, they say that you Irish migrated and brought the whiskey and that the Italians migrated and brought the mafia. Migrants sometimes suffer a lot. They suffer a lot. To close the border and leave them there, that is madness, he continued. Migrants have to be welcomed. Thereafter, you see how you're going to deal with them. Maybe you have to send them back. I don't know. But each case ought to be considered humanely, end of quote. Over the weekend, Paxton filed a fresh complaint against Annunciation House. This is Elizabeth interjecting. I believe that is the facility there in El Paso, I believe, Lou, that was aiding the border infusion. I believe that's the one in El Paso. If not, it is in Texas. Okay, so back to the article. For its role in enabling the crisis at the southern border, and warned that other charities involved in such illegal activities will face similar actions. Quote, any NGO, non-governmental organization, We have to interrupt again, listeners. If you're not familiar with that term, that came out of the United Nations. And these are organizations that are in opposition to traditional elected county officials in a country. You see, this is a usurpation by the United Nations of local lawmakers. They bring in these non-governmental organization heads, and they try to do a lot of things, stripping us of our rights in the environment and many different things. So any NGO facilitating the unlawful entry of illegal aliens into Texas is undermining the rule of law and potentially jeopardizing the safety and well-being of our citizens, Paxton wrote in a press release.
He went on to say all NGOs who are complicit in President Joe Biden's illegal immigration catastrophe and think they are above the law should consider themselves on notice, unquote. At another point in the wide-ranging interview, Francis accused conservatives of having a, quote, suicidal attitude, unquote, to life and politics. And he went on to say, you use an adjective, conservative. That is, conservative is one who clings to something and does not want to see beyond that, Francis argued. It's a suicidal attitude, because one thing is to take tradition into account, to consider situations from the past, but quite another to be closed up inside a dogmatic box, unquote. The Argentinian, who became pontiff in 2013, is notorious for hostility to conservatism and Catholic traditions. This has caused bitter divisions within the wider church, with some Catholics going so far as to call him a heretic. And then we have from the People's Voice, April 30th, 2024, Gates Insider admits the elite planning to euthanize billions via bird flu vaccine. A Gates Foundation insider has revealed America's food supply will be deliberately infected with bird flu to spark the next pandemic and pave the way for Bill Gates' next money-spinning vaccine to conquer the global market.
And we next have possibly the Illuminati, their lone gunman-type movie that was a warning before the September 11th attacks in New York of what's coming. So here at this headline, the Gateway Pundit, Alicia Powell, May 20th. Just in, Environmental Protection Agency warns of major cyber attacks to U.S. water systems. The Environmental Protection Agency has issued an enforcement alert urging water systems to take immediate action to protect the nation's drinking water from foreign cyber attacks. Cyber attacks against water utilities across the country are becoming more frequent and severe, the agency announced Monday. EPA officials warn approximately 70% of utilities inspected by federal officials over the last year violated standards designed to mitigate cyber threats. As nation states, including Russia and Iran, have impacted water systems of all sizes, even smaller water systems are being urged to improve protection against cyber attacks. Water systems typically rely heavily on computer software to operate treatment plants and distribution systems. The cybersecurity waters are deficient, as those running the systems failed to change default passwords or bar system access to former employees, the EPA states in the alert. And this is Elizabeth. Oh, wow, we are just so incompetent. We wonder why are we setting it up for the false flag attack? But that's just me. Back to the article. The agency notes that a cyber attack on U.S. water systems could result in damage to pumps and valves, interruptions to water treatment and storage, and alteration of chemical levels to hazardous amounts. EPA Director or Deputy Administrator Janet McCabe blasted water providers for the lackadaisical upkeep of cyber integrity. An estimated 150,000 community water providers serve small towns and cities nationwide. On Monday, the White House sent a letter to U.S. governors warning that, quote, disabling cyber attacks targeting water systems are underway nationwide. The White House and the EPA invited state officials to a meeting slated for Thursday to address how to improve digital defense for the thousands of utilities. The letter also charged the Chinese-sponsored hacking group VoIP Typhoon with targeting critical infrastructure sectors like drinking water in the U.S. as an example of the threat.
Now from Slate News, Bill Gates pushes vaccinations and food supply to, quote, fight climate change, unquote. This is by Frank Bergman, May 16th, 2024. Billionaire Bill Gates has been exposed as the driving force behind a shadowy organization that is pushing for governments to begin vaccinating the food supply in order to supposedly fight climate change. The Microsoft co-founder has been quietly funneling vast sums of cash into a firm seeking to vaccinate all cows and cattle herds around the world that are destined for the food supply. According to a report from Axios, Gates is the leader of an investment fund behind Archaea Bio. Archaea Bio is a Boston pharmaceutical company behind a new livestock vaccine. According to the company, the vaccine will help reduce global emissions from livestock and, quote, save the planet from climate change, unquote. Gates and other unelected globalist groups, such as the World Economic Forum, WEF, and the United Nations, UN, claim that methane from cows is one of the main contributors to the so-called climate crisis. In recent years, Gates, the WEF, and the UN have been demonizing the agriculture industry while calling for limits or even bans on the general public's consumption of meat and dairy products.
The WEF, UN, and Green Agenda politicians argue that methane gases from cattle or cow farts cause global warming. The pharma firm claims its vaccine reduces livestock methane emissions by suppressing cow farts. The report reveals that Gates pumped $26.5 million into an investment fund he founded, which was then funneled to Archaea Bio in the form of venture capital funding. The Gates-funded company claims cows create more than 5% of global, quote, greenhouse gases. Vaccines could be a relatively low-cost, scalable solution, particularly as food demand increases. However, while the idea of tainting the food supply with vaccines causes outrage among many, Axios argues that the general public has now begun to accept the idea. Quote, the whole thing feels a little dystopian. Giving animals injections so they cook the planet a little less before we cook some of them. But agribusiness sailed over the dystopian hurdle long ago, the report states. We have to interrupt. Hear the reprobate mind. See what we're living under. Only Jesus Christ can save us. We need to individually pray every day, repenting to him and read his holy scripture. We are going to need the kind of miracle that Al Cuppett's clergyman ancestor, J.C. Skipper, had when he was being chased near Deep Lake by a bear, and God translated him over Deep Creek Lake. We are going to need a time when our lives are purified by our constant remorse and praying to Jesus Christ to help us. Back to this article, Gates, who isn't a scientist or a doctor, is notorious for his interest in vaccines, climate change, and the food supply. He was a staunch advocate of vaccinating the public with COVID mRNA shots, despite the risks. As Slate News reported, Gates has been increasingly setting his sights on meat consumption among the general public and seeking to infuse this agenda with his other interests.
According to Gates and his globalist green agenda allies, beef cattle herds are destroying the planet due to their alleged emissions. Gates argues that the only solution to stop the claimed impact of cattle on global warming is either to, quote-unquote, modify cows or eliminate them. In a recent episode of his podcast, Unconfuse Me with Bill Gates, the host unveiled his plans for using artificial intelligence, that is, AI, to target the food supply. Gates said he believes that AI would have a clear role to play in fighting climate change. Regarding the food supply, Gates revealed that AI will be able to develop a solution to solve the, quote, problem, unquote, of meat consumption. He revealed plans to use AI to genetically modify cows to produce less methane. Gates revealed that the long-term plan is to use AI to eliminate cows altogether by using the technology to develop a way to manufacture, quote, meat without the cow, unquote. Additionally, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation awarded a $4.8 million grant to a London-based company to develop gas masks for cows. And this is a little yes, you heard that right. Gas masks for cows. Back to the article. The masks are a similar concept to carbon capture technology. Other research looks into food additives that go into the cow's feed. Gates is also pushing for cows to be genetically modified to advance this agenda. However, despite the growing efforts to demonize the farming industry, a new study has just concluded that blaming livestock for climate change is a globalist hoax. As Slate News reported, the new study debunked the globalist narrative that emissions from cows are causing climate change while proving that cattle herds actually lower methane gas in the atmosphere. According to the new study, blaming cows for methane emissions ignores cattle's relationship with the land. The researchers found that if grazing cattle were removed from pastures, emissions would actually go up, not down. Nevertheless, the war on food doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. Stock up on all American vaccine-free beef now while you still can.
And in this draconian kind of nightmare we're living in, there are still some individual Christians who are making a difference. The Gateway Pundit, Ben Q, May 18th, sales of Harrison Butker's NFL jersey skyrocket after epic commencement speech, outpacing Travis Kelce. Is that Kelce, Lou, or Kelce?
I believe it's Kelce.
Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Jersey sales of Kansas City Chiefs star Harrison Butker have skyrocketed since he delivered his conservative-themed commencement speech at Benedictine College last weekend. Butker, who is a place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs and three-time Super Bowl champion, discussed a wide range of issues. Listed among the top sellers on the official website, Butker's number 7 jersey has gotten quite a bump after the kicker's polarizing remarks. CBS Sports has reached out to the NFL about the specific sales numbers. Such news will come as a bitter blow to the woke NFL, which quickly sought to distance itself from Butker's conservative and religious worldview. Harrison Butker gave a speech in his personal capacity, said Jonathan Bean, the NFL's senior vice president and chief diversity and inclusion officer. His views are not those of the NFL as an organization. The NFL is steadfast in our commitment to inclusion, which only makes our league stronger. There was more about that at LifeSite News. Harrison Butker gives incredible commencement speech. And D.C. pro-lifers receive more prison time. This was from the LifeSite News staff May 16th, and it was a panel of Faith and Reason. Father Charles Murr, Frank Wright, and John Henry Weston, discuss traditional Catholic issues. So Father Charles Murr and Frank Wright return on this week's episode of Faith and Reason to discuss traditional Catholic football player Harrison Butker's commencement speech and some other news. Last Saturday, National Football League star Harrison Butker delivered the commencement speech at Benedictine College, in which he denounced U.S. President Joe Biden's support for abortion, the failure of the American Episcopate to preach the faith, especially during the COVID crisis, and encouraged people present to begin attending the traditional Latin Mass. He also stated that female graduates should be aware of the, quote, diabolical lies told to them about careerism while thanking God that his own wife decided to be a homemaker. Father Muir, considering Butker's statements about Biden's history on life issues, compared the zeal of young Catholics to the apparent lack of zeal on the part of priests and bishops. Quote, this man spoke like an archbishop, a cardinal, nay, a pope should speak, says the priest. Wright rather, this week, pro-life prisoners in the Washington, D.C. Freedom to Access Clinical Entrances Act, now this was more news from that panel, you see, trials received their sentences. Joan Andrews Bell, for instance, was sentenced to 27 months in prison Wednesday, while Lauren Handy, Will Goodman, John Henshaw, and others were also sentenced this week. The convictions come as the Department of Justice has allegedly mistreated the imprisoned pro-lifers. Wright notes that if one should speak of a, quote, double standard in the law, one would not be able to grasp it abstractly. However, what must be understood here is that people are being given, quote, harsh sentences and subject to harsh treatment because they are pro-life. While someone who fired 26 rounds into moving traffic was released on bail without sentencing. While he observes that one of the pro-lifers received a four-year sentence as the attempted rescue took place while abortion was still federally protected, Wright says, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think shooting at people with an AR-15 is also a crime, or at least I believed so until yesterday. Muir recalls that our Lord said the day would come when people would kill us and think they are worshiping God. Wright, meanwhile, looks at the issue under the woke moniker, saying that it's not woke, it's diabolical, referring to the D.C. judge who let the shooter off while another judge had the pro-lifers imprisoned. Upon the reading of the pro-life Henshaw's final statement to the court, Muir says that Henshaw gives a phenomenal witness, adding that he feels inadequate for not having done enough for the pro-life cause. And Henshaw, you see, was one of these pro-lifers. Thank God for great men and women who are heroes and heroines today of right, of God's presence in the world, come what may, says the priest. Along with him, I know that his reward is going to be great in heaven, he continues. I wish also and pray that his pains on earth toward that reward be lessened and they be more understood. Wright, meanwhile, says that Henshaw has been imprisoned for openly defying the law while also shedding light on a devilish redefinition of moral values upheld by the law. This revolution is in defense of an international machinery of death, and he's plainly stated this, and for this, he has been punished. The reward for people speaking out across the world, of medical professionals who've been brave enough to do so, has also been ostracism, personal attacks, Wright says. So we can see the separation between the wheat and the chaff has begun. Which side will you be on? Is Jesus Christ your personal Savior? He is the only way to heaven. The Bible does say that God brings some to Jesus. Jesus brings some to God. That is a mystery, because they are really the same being, Father and Son incarnate. Good night. Thank you for listening.